This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley, and we'd like to welcome you to our segment we call Protect Your Legacy with Attorney Blake Harris of Mile High Estate Planning. And with that, Mr. Harris, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Scott?
Hey, bud.
Please call me Blake.
Oh, I know. But, hey, it is always good to have you on, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes because I know you're busy. But let's just take a minute before we get into our topic today and just tell us, you know, what the last few months have been like and the clients that are calling you. And, you know, really, we talk about this all the time. A lot of people put this off. What's making people pick up the phone and call Mile High Estate Planning now?
Sure. A few things, but I think the virus has really woken some people up to the importance of estate planning. I don't like to say that this virus has been good for my business, but it has been good that it's got a lot of people who needed to do planning that have been putting it up to get their planning and affairs in order. Families are also more concerned and focusing on their money than they have been before. Now is definitely not a time where you want to be unprepared in the event of probate or in the event of needing to move into a nursing home. So I've been doing this for over a decade now, and my practice has never been as busy as it is right now.
Wow. All right, we're going to get into a few things here with you here. We've got just a segment here with you today, but let's just start out with really, why should someone create an estate plan?
Sure. There are two main reasons to create an estate plan. The main reason, number one, which most people think about, is money. You want to make sure that you are able to control your assets while you're alive. You want to make sure that when you pass away, your money goes to the people you want it to at the time that you want it to go to them. So that's kind of the obvious part about estate planning that most people are aware of, is planning for your financial affairs. Mm-hmm. But also just as important is the family aspect of estate planning. And this is important that you create an estate plan so that you can nominate a guardian for any minor children, so that you can select who cares for you during your incapacity by putting together the proper financial and medical power of attorney documents. And the third part is that you want to make sure that you have are able to have money you want to be sure that you are able to select who's the guardian for children. You want to be able to also avoid family fights.
Sorry, right.
It took me a second there.
No, that's okay.
Having a well-drafted estate plan can mean the difference between your family going and fighting over money after you pass away, or your family receiving that money in a very smooth transition after you pass away. So two reasons to create an estate plan. Number one is planning for money. Number two is planning for your family, those you love.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we always talk about probate. And so when we talk about that, the big word that you always say, you want to avoid that. So how can someone avoid probate?
Sure. Well, there's more than one way to skin a cat. In most circumstances, the best way to avoid probate is to create a revocable living trust. A revocable living trust will allow you to place your property inside of the trust. You can control the trust while you're alive. And then after you become incapacitated or once you pass away, those assets will be transferred to the people you have chosen outside of any government involvement. There would not be any need for probate by creating a revocable living trust. Probate is the government process for distributing assets after an individual becomes incapacitated or passes away. And there are two forms of probate. There's probate that goes on after an individual passes away, and that can cost anywhere from a few thousand dollars to tens of thousands of dollars, depending on the size of the estate, the number of beneficiaries, and whether any disputes arise among beneficiaries, heirs, and creditors. The other type of probate can happen while a person is alive. And this comes in the form of a guardianship or conservatorship, and these proceedings can actually cost several times what death probate costs because it requires ongoing and annual reporting to the court. So in order to avoid lifetime probate, I recommend all of my clients, I have all of my clients, create a financial and medical power of attorney so that the court does not need to get involved in the event that the client becomes incapacitated. So just to say it in very short language, in order to avoid probate, I recommend creating a power of attorney document, creating power of attorney documents, and a fully funded revocable living trust.
All right. Attorney Blake Harris is with us. Check out his website, milehighestateplanning.com. And I'm just telling you, I've never seen so many great reviews for a company in all my life. And you know what? Just hearing, Blake, how all your clients just say, you know, what meant the most to them. But most of them, to break it down, you know, you made it the process very easy. It was overwhelming to them in their own mind before they sit down with you, but you made the process easy. You were easy to talk to. And, you know, and they walked out with something that they knew was going to protect them and their family. And boy, just so many great reviews there.
Yes, I appreciate you saying that. We have over 50 Google reviews. Every single one is a 5-star. If you're going to work with us, I can guarantee you, you're going to have a good experience. If not, we're not going to hold you liable for anything. But what I hear over and over from clients is, we've been putting this off for a while. We kind of thought this was going to be a very expensive and long process to take care of, and we've been putting off what we thought was going to be a daunting task. Over and over, clients tell me that it was much simpler than they thought. Our pricing is much more affordable than most people expect it to be. And you, then once it's done, you get the peace of mind going forward that you've done everything you can to plan for your family's future.
Exactly. Blake, let's get into a little bit about nursing home costs. Wow. I've been talking to a lot of people about this lately, and it is unbelievable what the cost of nursing homes can be. And is there any way that, you know, some of this can help people avoid paying some of these high costs for nursing home?
Sure. I've told this story before, and I'm not going to go through the whole story on today's show, of how my grandma did not plan for her nursing home cost. In a matter of about 2 years, we saw her estate nearly wiped out, which wasn't huge, but it had a couple $100,000 in. And individuals like her, families that have a member that may be moving into a nursing home at some point in their life or some point in the coming years, should definitely consider doing some planning. By planning at least 5 years in advance, we can protect nearly all the family assets from nursing home costs. What happens in some situations is somebody doesn't have any plan, they end up needing to pay out of pocket $5,000 to $10,000 per month for the long-term or nursing home care. By planning in advance, you, or in other cases, they will be able to move into the nursing home, and then after they pass away, Medicaid, the state, will come back and recover the home. They'll take the home, and instead of the children receiving it, the state auctions it off and keeps the proceeds from that property. What can be done is, by planning in advance moving into the nursing home, creating a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust. This trust will allow a family member to move into a nursing home. Once they pass away, that trust keeps the property safe from being recovered and taken by Medicaid. In many cases, a few hours of estate planning can do more to protect the family's wealth than decades of working. And this is certainly true when it comes to planning for your long-term care.
Right. Now, when you mentioned these trusts, you mentioned, you know, irrevocable, and you've talked about revocable. Can you give us two scenarios of why you would either want a revocable or irrevocable?
Sure. So a revocable trust, I would say 90-95% of all trusts that are being created are revocable trusts. These are standard estate planning trusts, which give our clients full control over their money. It allows them to avoid probate. And then after they pass away, the trust becomes irrevocable, and the children receive a protective bow around that property, or a protected lock around their property, so the children can't lose it because of a lawsuit or divorce. The other type of trust is a trust that starts out as an irrevocable trust. The downside to an irrevocable trust is it's a little bit more complicated. It costs a little bit more to set up than a revocable trust, but the upside to a revocable trust is that it can give our clients asset protection. And there's a couple of different meanings of asset protection. There's asset protection from lawsuits. There's also asset protection from the nursing home. And when creating a nursing home trust or a Medicaid asset protection trust, we'd use an irrevocable trust. Now, the assets inside the trust can still be changed, the money can still be invested, and distributions can be made to a beneficiary who then turns around and helps support our client who funded the trust. For most younger families with mid-level assets, irrevocable trust is what I recommend. For older individuals or couples who are getting closer to moving into a nursing home or have adult children, an irrevocable trust may be the right solution. So generally, a revocable trust is a good investment for anyone who either has children or owns real estate. An irrevocable trust is good for someone who's concerned about lawsuits or long-term care costs.
All right. And Blake, I know upcoming we're going to be doing a show that's going to cover, you know, a lot of mistakes that people can make. But would you say there's one biggest mistake that people can make when it comes to estate planning?
I would say that there is one biggest mistake, but kind of like I run my law practice, I'm going to give you a little bit more than you asked for.
Okay.
The number one biggest mistake is certainly putting it off. Two-thirds of all individuals have no estate plan. We do estate planning. We do probate at my office. We don't do anything beyond that. And lots of cases come in where people say, you know what, mom and dad were planning to put together their estate. They talked about it for a while. It never got done. And now we have to go through probate. So number one biggest mistake is simply putting it off. Number two is not updating. If you wrote a will 25 years ago when your children were young, they're now all adults. Maybe there's been a marriage or a divorce during that time for you or for a child. It's definitely wise to review that estate plan. In some cases, in many cases, an out-of-date estate plan is worse than not having any estate plan at all. So you definitely want to make sure that you review your estate plan from time to time. This is why I include free lifetime reviews anytime somebody creates an estate plan at my law firm. And then the third biggest mistake is leaving money to your children. Rule number one of estate planning, do not leave money to your children. And the reason why is your children can lose their money. Your children can cause a car accident, can get sued, can get divorced. Instead, leave your money to a trust. A trust can't cause a car accident.
Right.
A trust will never get divorced. But a trust can keep your assets protected so that your children can continue to benefit from it over the course of their life, and your grandchildren can continue to have that fund passed forward to the next generation as well. So number one, biggest mistake, putting it off. Number two, not updating. Number three, leaving money to your children.
Well, great. It's great. All great information there, Blake. So we appreciate your time today. Again, check out milehighestateplanning.com. And folks, look, if we want a medical person, we would all go to a specialist. If that's all they do, this is all Mile High Estate Planning does is estate planning. So call, talk to Blake, set up an appointment, 720-924-6171. And Blake, you're doing these in person at your beautiful office downtown there, which is free parking, easy to get to, as well as Zoom virtual. So anyway, customers are comfortable, they can contact you.
Absolutely. We've got beautiful office space in downtown Denver with free parking next door. We also are available for phone calls, Zoom calls, FaceTime calls, whatever is easiest for the clients.
All right, sir. Well, Blake, appreciate it, and we look forward to our next visit, sir.
Thanks so much, Scott. Have a good one. Talk
All
to
right,
you.
All right, you too. Blake Harris, 720-924-6171, milehighestateplanning.com.
Hi, this is Scott Watley from my friends at Enchanted Kitchens. At Enchanted Kitchens, it's all about the magic of design. Whether you're remodeling your kitchen or building a custom home, Enchanted Kitchens offers a full-service design center with multiple product lines to meet any budget. And right now, when you mention Haystack Help Radio, you'll receive 15% off your Europa brand cabinets. And after you visit their Experience Center in Englewood, you'll get a no-cost, no-obligation in-home design consultation. Hey, after all, the kitchen is the heart of every home. Call Enchanted Kitchens today, 303-376-7588. That's 303-376-7588. Enchanted Kitchens is a member of the Haystack Help Home Team.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. It is always good to have our good friend John Hinkle in studio. Online Trading Academy, been with us a number of years now, and they are the only type of industry like this that helps people with trading that we endorse and that we have been with all these years. So, John, it is great to see you again, sir.
Wonderful to see you, Scott.
You know, when you think about it, boy, to be successful in business even a few years is something else nowadays. But, man, you guys have been doing this a long time.
Yeah, and I think the thing that you see a common theme in successful businesses is they put the customer first. They really value the people that come through the door, and that's one thing we've always tried to do is make the experience for our students as good of an experience as we can.
Sure. You know, I was thinking today about just – what it takes to be successful at doing this. And yes, knowledge, and they always say knowledge is power, but you know what? It's having the right knowledge. And you guys have a great strategy and techniques and proven methods.
We really do. And it's not just the knowledge, Scott. I think it's important that people recognize that trading and investing is a skill like anything else. Mm-hmm. It's something you learn step by step. And it's applied knowledge. And it's getting that knowledge and learning how to apply it. And that's one of the things that I love about the Academy is we have we teach people how to apply the knowledge. It's one thing to learn it. Sure. It's another step to actually apply it.
And we've talked about this before. Okay, if you know a lot about stock market or just math, whatever, that's great. But you don't need a degree in all this to do well.
You really don't. You know, we've had students come in and really take to this that didn't have any financial background at all. We'll teach people what they need to know from starting at the beginning. We don't assume that you know everything, and some of the things that people know occasionally are wrong.
Sure, yeah, exactly. So what are some of the reasons students are interested in investing? Is it just about the money?
I think there's a whole thing about having more security, having more confidence in the decisions that they're making. You know, we have an incredibly volatile market this year, yeah. Scott. I think we were talking a little bit before we came on the air. I shared with you a stat that of the 10 most volatile days in the history of the stock market, since the U.S. stock market's been around, 8 of them have been this year. And we've just had it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, we've had so much movement, and that movement is a two-edged sword. We like to say at the Academy that essentially the market is a transfer mechanism. Money flows from those that are novices, maybe new investors, people that don't know what they're doing, to those that are knowledgeable and skillful. And when you have volatility, it flows faster.
Sure, absolutely. So what are your students most surprised to learn, even after just attending, one of your classes, which we'll talk about here in a minute?
I think there's a couple things, but I think how many misconceptions there are in the market, certain about the market, I think is one of them. How little the market's actually returned, given the volatility that we've had in the last 20 years. I'm trying to remember the exact number. I believe it's since 2000, the market's only returned 4% a year with dividends. So it's relatively low, and obviously that's better than you get in a bank today.
Sure.
But if you're looking at retiring, most people aren't earning enough. They see those numbers, those IRAs and the 401ks going up, but that a lot of times that's because they're depositing money. That's not because the money's not growing that fast.
Yeah, sure. What would you say? I had somebody ask me this yesterday after we had done our show. It was quite ironic. And they were talking about retirement, and they said, well, how much do you even need to retire? I mean, how do you even go on about figuring out a baseline of what a family needs today?
Yeah, that's a great question, Scott. And one of the things we've got some calculators that we use to show people how to use to kind of figure out what they're going to need to retire. For most people, it's a lot more than they think. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on how you want to live. Do you want to live a very enriched life where you are free to travel, free to pay for your grandkids' schooling?
Sure.
You know, it depends on what you want. It's always more than people think. I remember seeing something just on Medicare alone, the average person out of pocket, people think that they don't have health care expenses when they retire. The average person, I saw this in, I think it was in Bloomberg, the average person spends $250,000 in their lifetime out of pocket from retirement till death.
Wow. Okay. And so retirement sounds great until you don't have the money to do the things you want to do and you've worked your whole life for.
You know, when retirement is great when you can do it on your terms in the way that you have intended. For a lot of people, they've kind of put their head in the sand and they haven't faced the reality that they haven't saved enough. So there's two things. You can either save more, which is tough on a budget, mm-hmm. or you can try to improve your return. And you've got to do one or the other, and maybe both.
Right. How do you talk with people just about risk? Because, I mean, there's risk in everything. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I just had a knee replacement. You know what? Surgeon didn't look at me and say, I guarantee you this. He can't. Nobody can guarantee anything. So when you talk about risk, how do you kind of figure out people's mindset and explain it to them what risk is?
Well, it's interesting because we always approach risk as the very first thing we look at when we're entering the market, whether it's an investor or trader. Understanding the risk you're taking, having a risk mitigation strategy is really important. How much money are you willing to lose? Because you will lose on some trades. You'll lose on some investments, too. Not all investments go the way you want.
Sure.
So it's about having a strategy that allows you to limit those, to quantify them, and to follow that strategy.
Right. John Hinkle is with us, Online Trading Academy. Check out their website, tradingacademy.com. Their number, 303-217-4511. And John has been kind enough to offer a class for us. And this just runs about 2 hours. So, man, I was just thinking about it today. It is time, I think, we all look. How much are you investing in yourself? How much are you investing in your own life and getting control of it? And this is a good chance to do that.
It's a great time, too. And I never before have so many people managed their own money, done their own trading, you know, especially now that you can trade for free practically with so many, with Schwab, with Robinhood, sure. with all these other companies, TD Ameritrade as well. Trading is very inexpensive, unless you're making a lot of mistakes, and then it can become very expensive. And one of the things I like about our education is we teach people, really, the first thing we teach them is how to control risk. That's the number one thing they have to have. It's not as sexy as trying to make money, but it's the key to making money, really.
Right.
And I know we mentioned before that the classes we're running, you alluded to those a little bit. Those can be in person, and we're also broadcasting them over the web with Zoom. So people that want to call in, want to get a little bit of education, they can participate by coming to the center, or they can actually, we'll help them log into Zoom, and they can actually participate in a virtual classroom.
All right. This is a great chance to take advantage of this. Again, it's about 2 hours of your time. All you have to do is call 303-217-4511. Just mention you heard John here on Haystack Cup Radio. And, you know, if you can make the class, and I'll tell you, they got a beautiful campus kind of in the Tamarack area off I-25 in Hamden, but they've got a beautiful campus there you can come to. Or, as John said, if you're more comfortable doing it over the Zoom in the comfort of your office or home, you can do that as well. But I hope you'll give them a call, 303-217-4511. And, John, we said this on a recent show. I mean, this is something easily, I mean, you could charge $500 to $700 and still be giving the client a good deal, but yet you give this away.
Yeah, this is, you know, obviously we're trying to promote our business.
Sure.
And you know, we have other education besides us. But we want everyone to at least have a baseline. We're trying to do this as part community mm-hmm. service and part to grow our business, get our brand name out there, and give people a chance to see what's really possible in the world of trading and investing.
Right. Do you find, have you ever had a student say, man, I just want to replace my job with doing this? Or are some people just wanting to, you know, make a little bit more money and just have a little more control in their life is what it seems like.
It really varies, Scott, and that's a very individual
sure.
thing. And obviously, the higher returns, the more money you're trying to make, the more you need to start with, and obviously, the more
right.
skill you need. So, you know, we all across the board, some people just, you know, like I said, some people are looking to see, hey, can I really do this?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're really there to find out in that 2-hour class. You know, what does it take to do this? What do I have to avoid? You know, what kind of mindset do I need? What kind of skill set do I need? What do I need in terms of resources? Those
right.
kind of questions that we'll answer for them.
Right. Because the mistakes are easy to make, but you know what? It's great to have someone like yourself come up, been doing this a number of years, your other instructors, that tell us about the mistakes they made to keep you from making them.
Yeah, I think it's always cheaper to learn from somebody else's
exactly.
mistakes if you can avoid repeating them, you know, because I think I've been trading for more than 30 years, 25 of which professionally on the exchange floors in Chicago, and I think I've made just about every mistake you can make,
and
I would definitely share those things with people so they can avoid making them.
What's changed the most when you started out in your first year to today in 2020?
I think the biggest thing, you know, the internet's changed everything yeah. in people's lives. Before, you needed to be in Chicago or New York or London if you were trading in Europe, somewhere where there's an exchange floor so you could have access to prices. The internet has changed so much. You have access. You have the same access to prices that people on Wall Street do.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is they have a lot more knowledge and a lot more skill. You need to at least get on an even playing field with not necessarily with them, but with experienced traders. You're not going to get an even playing field with Goldman Sachs, obviously.
Yeah, sure. Why do people find this investing thing so challenging?
You know, I think people have a lot of head trash about it, and I think people, they do the wrong thing. They get caught up in their emotions. People buy after a big up move rather than trying to buy at a price where, you know, when price is lower, you know, they don't, you know, you think about how people buy a car, you know, or buy a TV. When something's on sale, you buy it.
Sure.
People in the market do the opposite. They wait till it goes up in price and get in it.
They got the timing down. They sell it exactly the wrong time and buy it exactly the wrong time.
Exactly. Yeah.
So again, John Hinkle is our guest, tradingacademy.com. Listen, this is a great chance, once again, as I mentioned, invest in yourself. When's the last time you did that to really help your retirement? Just get a clearer picture of what you may can do with their help. Again, it is tradingacademy.com. 303-217-4511 is the number. All you have to do is call, and if you'd like to get in on a class right there in person with John and his team, and you can do that. And if you're more comfortable doing it over the Zoom virtual way, you can do that as well. All you have to do is call. It's absolutely free, 303-217-4511. So, John, as always, we appreciate you doing this for us and giving our listeners a chance to kind of see what you guys are a little bit more all about, a little more in depth. So we appreciate that.
Thank you, Scott.
That's John Hinkle, Online Trading Academy, tradingacademy.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Jack Corrigan. There's no better time than now to visit my friends at Len Lyle Chevrolet. They're open, following all proper safety precautions, and ready to offer terrific deals. Suburbans for over $10,000 less, better than $7,000 off a brand new Equinox. And Len Lyle Chevy has 0% financing on almost every model. Plus, they need trade-ins badly, so they're willing to pay over book value. Len Lyle Chevrolet, it's time for you to go east and pay the least. And did I mention they need your trade-in?
Here's why you need KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, on your side. He understands how the jury thinks.
In the context of a personal injury case where you have been hurt by someone else's negligence, the idea with that is that you're then going to try to recover to get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. And what that really means from a juror's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about what six people that don't know you, that hear evidence and have to make a unanimous decision, will decide as to what fair value is. And so you and I, when we get hurt, have definitely an idea of what we think it's worth to us. But the question is, what can you articulate to those other individuals who don't know you and are not involved in this process to get them persuaded about what it is that they think the case is worth?
Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Nutrition and Wellness, brought to you by 5280 Functional Medicine, where there is a better way to take control of your health. And normally Dr. Mark Riggs joins us, but every once in a while we are able to kidnap Bryn Callender. She is a functional medicine certified health coach. Now, Bryn, you added something else to that, right?
I did, yes. I'm also a National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach.
All right. So, hey, we've got everything you need right here in a health coach. And that is Bryn Callender, once again, with 5280 Functional Medicine. And we're going to talk about something today that, hey, this is for everyone. Because, Bryn, I don't meet too many people where you see them in the morning or something, and they go, I got way too much sleep last night. So we're going to talk about the lack of sleep and how that affects our health.
Absolutely, yes. You know, when we talk about functional medicine, we go down into the roots of health and wellness. And so really what we take a look at is sleep and relaxation is one of the key roots to our health. Okay. So you've got sleep and relaxation, you have exercise and movement, nutrition, stress, and relationships. Those are the five that I really focus on as a health coach. And so, you know, you think about one-fifth of that is sleep and relaxation. And so, yeah, you know, one of the things that I've really noticed so much with my clients lately is, even more so now than before, people are really struggling with their sleep. And just like you said, how often do you run into somebody that was like, man, I got the best night's sleep last night? So yeah, just thinking about how much sleep impacts us. You know, you think about COVID right now, mm-hmm. COVID-19, and so many of the comorbidities that, you know, make COVID-19 more severe for people are things like hypertension, diabetes, you know, obesity, things like that. And all of those are impacted by sleep, which is pretty crazy to think about. You know, I don't know a whole lot of people who will say, well, maybe sleep is connected to my diabetes, or maybe sleep is connected to my obesity. But there's very strong connections in the scientific literature around that. And definitely Dr. Riggs can talk so much to it, you know, the real particulars. My role is to really take a look at people's lifestyle and help them make changes with their lifestyle, mm-hmm. so that, you know, we can take a look at maybe you're not getting enough sleep because, one, you don't even allow yourself enough time in bed to get that sleep. So there's so many different components to it that that I take a look at as a health coach.
Right. Now, you deal a lot, you know, with the nutritional side of things too. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Is everybody different, or is there some kind of rule of thumb of like, you should not eat past mm-hmm. this time of the evening that's going to affect your sleep? And I don't want to jump ahead, of what you're going to talk about today.
No, that's great.
But yeah, so is there a time that you say, you know, you really shouldn't eat anything after whatever?
Yeah, so it's definitely personalized for each person. However, there is a rule on, you know, if you're having trouble going to sleep at night, it could be because you are eating too late at night. So, you know, if you're finding yourself eating, you know, 7-8 o'clock at night, and you're trying to go to bed 10-11 o'clock, and you're not finding yourself being able to go to sleep, you could be eating too late. Okay. Your body needs time to do a little bit of digestion before you get into that mm-hmm. sleep mode. And so, yeah, it could be affecting your sleep, you know. For other people, though, for people who have diabetes and maybe they're not sleeping, they can't sleep through the night because they're having blood sugar dysregulation, those could be people that actually they do need to have a snack right before bed or close to bedtime, like, you know, a hard-boiled egg or some nuts or something like that to help them stabilize their blood sugar through the night.
Okay.
So so definitely there's no real hard and fast rule. It's right. Definitely something we have to play around with and see what's going to work for you.
Sure.
But if you are having trouble sleeping, then those are things you could think about.
Absolutely. Brent Callender is our guest, once again, brought to you by 5280 Functional Medicine. And if you would like to get in touch with Brent, her number is 720-722-0386 there at the office, and they will get an appointment scheduled with her. Now, you did a webinar, too, this last Saturday, and you kind of went through this, so I'm just going to turn you loose and let you talk about sleep here.
Yeah, great. Thanks. So, you know, one of the things that I think a lot about as a coach is when I'm coaching someone, I want to know what is your current status. So I can give you lots and lots of tips on, you know, different things that might be affecting your sleep, but really taking a look at first, what is your current status? So thinking about how much sleep are you getting a night? Mm-hmm. And often many people are getting 5-6 hours of sleep a night. And what the National Sleep Foundation says is that is not enough. We really need to be sleeping between 7 and 9 hours for adults. Older adults, who they classify as 65 years or older, they say 7 to 8 hours. But regardless, we need to be getting at least 7 hours of sleep. And for most people, a lot of my clients, they're in bed for about 6 hours a night. You know, they're going to bed at 11, they're getting up at 5 a.m., they're not even giving themselves enough time to even get 7 hours of sleep right. in bed. So ultimately, that's one of the very first tips is take a look at where you are and are you allowing yourself to get that 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night? And if you are, great. If it's not good quality sleep, then we have other things that we can dig into. But starting with that sure. time in bed. So, you know, for people who say, well, I'm only in bed for 6 hours a night, then what we can do with health coaching is really take a look at setting a goal for you. What can we change either to allow you to sleep in a little bit longer so you can get more sleep, or what can we do to help you get into bed earlier so mm-hmm. that you have more time? What they say is make sure that you have a good 8 to 9 hours in bed every single night. Wow. That way you can get to that 7 hours of sleep.
I think the big key is for us is not having a one-year-old golden retriever.
Oh yeah.
Sleep on the foot of your bed.
Because
about 5:30, and she comes up and just, you know, ready to go.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you think about people like Dr. Riggs and Dr. Spencer right now. They've got a little 1-month-old at home. And so, yeah, sleep can be challenging to get those good solid night's sleep. But for those of us who don't have those
right.
those particular pieces, and there's a whole nother, you know, aspect of sleep that we could talk about around napping. You know, naps are beneficial for us.
And you kind of hear those power nap kind of things that some people do. So you like those.
Yeah. You know, it talks about taking naps, and that can help our sleep. It can actually hinder our sleep as well, depending on how long we nap for
right.
and then when we're napping. So if you're napping in the early evening, that could affect your sleep, right? You might not be ready to go to sleep when it's time to go to sleep.
Sure.
But those power naps, yeah, those are great in the middle of the day mm-hmm. to help just give you that little bit of extra energy to get you through to the night.
Okay. So when you look at, so is it really just a lot of times in that consultation when you're talking with people, you know, does sleep usually come up in all of your initial consultations?
Yeah, it does.
It's such
actually.
A vital part.
Right. And our society really, you know, the more busy you are, the bigger your badge of honor. And so lots of people think sleep is for wimps,
right.
you know, but it really, if you really want to get better health, then sleep is so important. And so, yes, it does come up. I ask everybody about their sleep because it's so foundational between your sleep, your movement and exercise, your nutrition, and then your stress.
Right.
Those are the things that I really dig into. And then we take a look at, you know, there's so many different components. So I also have a sleep questionnaire that if that is something people really, really want to work on, I have a 4-page questionnaire that just asks tons and tons of questions about your sleep. So what kind of problems are you having? Do you feel rested in the morning? Questions that dig into details like, are you having trouble falling asleep? Is that the issue? Or are you having trouble staying asleep? Is that the issue? And so there's so many different things. There's different medications that obviously can affect our sleep as well. And that's where the collaborative care team approach comes in so strongly with Dr. Riggs, Dr. Spencer, and myself, where we take a look at, you know, they take a look at it from that perspective. They know the medications a lot, so much more than I do. And can tell if that's really affecting somebody's sleep or not. But just there's so many different components. There's stress. Stress affects our sleep so much, which I think is why so many people are having a hard time sleeping right
Absolutely.
Now. They just feel so much stress. So I would love to just kind of go into a couple of different
Sure.
tips in the different areas around how to help yourself get some better sleep. So if anybody is interested, I have all of these tips on a handout. And so all they have to do is reach out to our office, info@5280functionalmedicine.com. And we're happy to send this handout to them. It's just a very comprehensive list of suggestions for better sleep. And it comes out of the Institute for Functional Medicine.
Great. Go ahead.
So, yeah. So thinking about so many people are caffeine addicted, right? So that is where that's where we start with a lot of people. I know my mom, for example, drinks multiple cups of coffee throughout the entire day. And so when she comes to me and says, I'm having trouble sleeping, ultimately, that's one of the first places we're going to go is let's take a look at your caffeine intake, because caffeine, a lot of people are actually pretty sensitive to caffeine. They've probably desensitized themselves
right,
by the
sure.
amount of caffeine that they take in. But so taking a look at when are you consuming your caffeine beverages? And if it is getting to be after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you might want to take a look at, is that affecting my sleep? So stopping it, you know, sooner than 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're really sensitive to caffeine, I'm in that category of really sensitive, you know, the people who kind of shake when they have caffeine or
sure.
they get headaches, things like that. You know, even stopping it by noon is a really good, good tip to if it's affecting your sleep. And the only way you can really test out if it's affecting your sleep is by moving it.
Right.
Move it, give it a good week of trying to, you know, limit it and see if that helps improve your sleep. So those stimulants, you know, other stimulants can include things like cold medicines. So I know, you know, when people have allergies mm-hmm. or, you know, sinus stuff going on, that medicine can really be a stimulant for us. And so taking that close to bedtime can lead to people not being able to sleep well as well.
And then some like a NyQuil or something, people think that, and that kind of knocks people out,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
that can be something that can
right.
put
that
you to sleep.
That can be helpful.
Yeah, okay.
Right, right. One of the misconceptions, this is not a stimulant, but alcohol. People often will drink alcohol in the evenings. And what happens with alcohol is it's not a stimulant. However, it doesn't allow your body to get into deep sleep. And so that's the really restorative sleep that you want in order to wake up feeling rested the next day and really have your body be able to take the time to heal when it, you know, that deep restorative sleep is what you need. And so alcohol, considering if you're having trouble, you're not waking up feeling rested, then you could consider, you know, making sure that your alcohol consumption ends at least 3 hours prior to bedtime. So if you're going to bed by 10, don't have any more after 7 p.m. to see if that can help you get some better sleep.
Gotcha.
So I know that lots of people, they drink to go to sleep,
yep.
and that's actually
and a lot of times, like you said,
work.
are people that fall asleep really quick.
Exactly.
And then you wake up at 1:30 or 2 and can't go back to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
And another thing you say about exercise,
yeah,
which is kind of interesting. So kind of complete that maybe before 6. And again, everybody can be different, but for the most part, we're talking about before 6 p.m., complete any aerobic exercise. So don't go running at 9 o'clock at night if
exactly.
you plan on going to bed by 10.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, these are definitely suggestions. These are
sure.
tips. If you find yourself, you know, if that's you, if you are going out running at 9 o'clock and you're finding yourself not being able to go to sleep, then that's something to consider. Other people can go out running at 9 o'clock and they can go to sleep just fine and stay asleep. So it really is, these are all just tips for you to consider, reflect on, and see what might be affecting you.
Sure. And man, I like the next category. Tension and anxiety,
yeah.
because who doesn't fit that today? You
right.
know, so boy, you got some great tips here. Hit a few of those for us.
Right. Yeah. So one of the things that we find, especially right now, again, we keep going back to the times that we're in, anxiety can make just from personal experience, mm-hmm. your brain just spins and spins and spins. You can't get it to quiet down at night. And so just some tips, you know, thinking about, first of all, what is causing that anxiety? So if it's the news, then turn the news off. If it's, you know, if it's an argument that you're having with a coworker or something like that, you can think about how you probably at 10 o'clock at night are not going to be able to hash out that dispute with your coworker. But could you settle your brain down by possibly scheduling something in the future? So today's Tuesday, so I'm going to take a look at trying to meet with them on Thursday so that you can at least calm your brain down. Because really what your brain is doing, it's spinning because it's trying to problem solve for you. Mm-hmm. But at 10 o'clock at night, you're probably not going to do your best problem solving. And so having yourself schedule something later in the week can kind of help just calm your brain down. Let your brain know that you've got this under control. You're going to take care of it a little bit later. Other things that are really helpful are things like journaling. Some people hate journaling, and so that's fine. That's where I mm-hmm. say these are tips. But just the act of taking a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and writing down what's really getting to you is therapeutic.
Because we don't write much today.
Exactly.
Sometimes you may go several weeks before you pick up a pen
right.
and a paper because we're so used to texting and emailing
exactly.
and doing all those things. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, anytime that something's disturbing you, you could try just reaching over, having a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be a journal. It could just be a scratch piece
sure.
of paper, you know, and just writing it down. Just the act of doing that can help calm your mind and get it out of your mind. Other things, you know, if you find that this is a common occurrence where you just really are having a hard time going to sleep at night, there's different things that you can try, like relaxing yoga. You could try meditation. Some people are like, don't even talk to me about meditation. I don't want to do it. And that's fine. You don't mm-hmm. have to. Let's find something else that's going to work for you. So, you know, different tips like deep breathing is beneficial. You know, just things that are going to help bring your body into a calm state that's ready to go to sleep.
Right. Now, I've heard a lot of people that they say, we don't have a TV in our bedroom.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't watch TV at night. That is something that I'm hooked to. You know, I watch
yeah.
ESPN, sports stuff, whatever. And so you say avoid watching the news before you go to bed, which right now is crazy.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of people are tuning in, the election coming and all the different
right.
things. But even something as simple as just turning off the TV and just relaxing before you go to bed.
Right. And there's so many components to the TV that make it, you know, interfere with your sleep. So not only can it cause anxiety around, you know, whatever you're watching can create a sense of anxiety or stress within you, but also the blue light that comes mm-hmm. from the TV. And so if TV is something that, you know, you said you like to watch ESPN
right.
or sports or things like that. So if that is something that it's part of your routine, then simply getting some blue light blocking glasses, amber colored glasses that block that blue light. Because ultimately what's happening is when that blue light is hitting your eye, it's telling your brain that it's still daytime out, and it's not giving the signals that it's time to calm down, it's time to wind down. And so, having some of those glasses is helpful for those people who that's just really so ingrained in them. That's part of their routine.
Right. And even, like you say, avoid paying bills before bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you're going to be stressed doing that,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. So just try to make the evenings less stressful.
Right.
And just kind of plan out your activities a little different.
Exactly. And that's what I work on so much with my clients, is creating a nighttime routine for them that really is going to help them get into that calm state. So, so many people, we try and squeeze as much in as we can during the daytime. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a parent with young kids, you're putting your kids to bed, and then you've got from, 8 o'clock at night to 10 o'clock at night to squeeze in everything that you couldn't get done.
Sure.
So, but really taking a look at that routine and what really has to be done before bed, and what could wait until tomorrow, so that you can have some form of a routine that's going to calm you down. Just finding things that you enjoy is so important, and doing mm-hmm. those to help calm you down. And that takes a lot of trial and error, finding out what do I enjoy and what does calm me down before bed.
Exactly. And now, I can really see with school starting and moms especially, those now that are wondering their kids maybe going to be in school 2 days, home 3 days, or they're choosing to homeschool for the mm-hmm. first time. This is going to be a difficult area for those ladies,
isn't it? Absolutely. It is. And that's where, finding techniques to calm yourself down throughout the day mm-hmm. is really helpful, and finding ways to really get yourself organized. It seems kind of funny that I would talk about organization as a health coach, but planning and organizing your day is so important to help you make the most of your time so that you're not crunched at the end of the day.
Bryn Callender is with us once again. 5280 Functional Medicine is the company. You can check out their website, 5280functionalmed.com. And again, if you would like a list of this, which is by the Institute for Functional Medicine, just simply shoot Bryn an email at info@5280functionalmed.com, and they will get that to you. All right, so it sounds like really we just have to just slow down, hit the brakes a little bit, and kind of just make a plan, because I do. From the time I get up to the time I get home, things with the radio can change. I had a client the other day that's supposed to be on, right at noon with us for our Haystack show, and didn't call it. So then I'm scrambling. So, you're always doing, just going crazy all day. So you can't expect just to go home, eat dinner, maybe watch TV, and then just go to bed and relax without some proper planning, it sounds
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's funny because that is how so many people live their life. It's a constant go, 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 go. And then we wonder why we can't fall asleep at night. And it's really our body needs, we get into these states where it's almost like we have a constant stress response the entire day. And so in order to go to sleep, we really need to calm down that stress response, bring in the relax. I'm trying to think of the word for it, but just the relaxation response is what we need to bring mm-hmm. in when we're ready for bed. And so finding yourself, doing some different things that really help bring that down. Other things to think about too, when it comes to planning for sleep, if you are a person who, we've been talking a lot about the falling asleep piece, but then there's the other piece of actually staying asleep. And so part of planning is if you wake up in the middle of the night because you need to use the restroom, then that could be part of the planning piece of, okay, we got to bump. We cannot be drinking that much prior to bed.
Sure.
So it's something so minor that can be altered so quickly, but can help you get a better night's sleep. Other things to think about with planning is Have a constant routine for when you go to bed and when you wake up. I know lots and lots of people who they have their routine during the week on the weekdays, but then their routine changes on the weekend. And that messes up our circadian rhythm or our biological clock. And so the more you can get your routine going so that you're going to sleep at the same time every night, waking up at roughly the same time every morning. So it doesn't have to be exact, but within about a 30 minute to an hour range, you know, so going to bed sometime between 9:30 and 10, waking up sometime between 5:30 and 6,
right,
you know, really will help your body regulate so that it knows when it needs, when it's ready to go to bed.
Sure.
It knows when to produce those hormones to help you get sleepy. And then it knows when to produce those hormones to help you wake up in the morning. It's more predictable for your body.
Right. Once again, Brent Callender is with us. It's 5280 Functional Medicine, 5280functionalmed.com, and their number 720-722-0386. And your appointments are available all through the week.
Yeah.
They just have to call and make it. And how long is it generally a first appointment?
Sure. So the first appointment that I do with people is usually about an hour long. So, and why it's an hour long is because we'll talk about coaching, what to expect from coaching, because a lot of people have never been coached before. And so we'll kind of set that stage for what coaching will look like, what they can expect from me, what I expect from them. And then also, we dig in. We start to, I want them to walk away from that first session having a plan. I want them to have some form of a goal that they're starting to work towards so that they can start to see success right away. As soon as they start to see success, you want more success.
Right.
And so you just, it's just so motivating.
And do you find a lot of times people, you know, they come in and they try to change too much at one time? And so doing this kind of in stages, because, hey, we didn't get in this mess our body's in and our health is in overnight, so we're probably not going to correct it
in
a few
right.
short weeks either.
Right.
So just figure out what you can realistically do with pushing yourself a little bit, but making goals realistic too.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, because we have I have a client right now who he started a couple of years ago, and he wanted to take on the world. And so I tried to reel him back in, but that just wasn't, he wasn't in that state. He wasn't ready for that. And so I allowed him to do that. And it's funny, over the past couple of years, he now knows I can only take on these one or two pieces at a time.
Sure.
And he's making great, great progress.
Right. A couple minutes left here, but so I want to hit these kind of categorically. But
yeah.
One talks about light, noise, temperature, and environmental issues. So, I mean, I know for myself, man, if the room's hot, I can't sleep. You can always get warm, but you can't get cool. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So having a cool temperature, I think, for most people would be better, right?
That's exactly right. The National Sleep Foundation says that the best temperature is between 60 and 67 degrees in your bedroom, which to me seems really cold and practically impossible in my house right now, but in the summertime, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, that temperature is so important to keep you cool. I know, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night because I'm cold, and so I've got to get a blanket on, and then it's hard to go back to sleep. So making sure that you have that good, comfortable temperature for you is really important. The lights, we talked about a little bit with the TV, but also thinking about like electronics that produce lights in your room, other things that, you know, if you have a large window and you need to keep, you know, you have the shades open or you don't have shades. So how can you block that light from coming in? Because that light can wake you up in the middle of the night and make you not be able to go back to sleep.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right. Give Brent a call. Hey, we all need better sleep. And you know what? We're going to touch on this real quick here. Got about 45 seconds. But
sure.
Bedding and pillows, very important. And you got to have a good mattress. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Chiropractors tell you. I mean, I sold bedding for a long time in the furniture business, and I'm telling you, you need to spend some money on a mattress. And you've been sleeping on the same bed for 15 or 20 years, probably time for a new one.
Yep, we say to get the best quality that you can afford.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, Bryn, this is great information. I'm going to take this home and read it 3 hours before bed, so I won't be stressed and try to get better sleep. But thank you so much, and we appreciate it.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
That's Bryn Callender. Once again, 5280 Functional Medicine, 5280functionalmed.com. Give them a call now, 720-722-0386. 800-282-0386. Thank you so much for being with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.